Welcome today. So glad you're here. So honored to have you here. Thank you so much. And welcome you watching online today, people watching around our area, around our state, nation, and world. And we're honored to have you a part today, our online campus. And Summer and I get to do this. We get to be the pastors of this amazing church. And you make it easy for us to pastor. So thank you so much. I want to just, as well as my wife said, just thank you for your generosity. And that's one of our core values. And I'm so humbled and honored that we were able to relieve $2.2 million of medical debt for families. Come on, isn't that awesome? Love that. And partnering with, you know, our heart is to give back. And we do that in so many ways. We give to families every day. I just heard today from one of our staff members, about 8 families a day right now. We're giving food, clothes, furniture, appliances, anything we can do to help them in that place. And we're honored to do that. And we've even leveraged social media to give back. So if you don't mind, please get your phone out. And we have leveraged checking in on Facebook with giving to amazing causes. And so this is no gimmick. This is the truth. Last month we gave and we blessed the Compassion Ministry that helps children. We gave enough money for them to have 154 days of food, education. Come on, for those kids and straight days, it's awesome. And so this month, every check-in is donating to Feed One Convoy of Hope, which gives nutritious meals to children in over 14 nations. So if you don't mind, grab your phone, check in on Facebook, the City Church, and all of that is being leveraged to do good. Isn't that awesome? Social media can be good. I love it. So I'm honored to be here in our second week of our series, Outside My Window. The concept of this series is for you and I to receive the heart of God, not only for ourselves, but to also receive the heart of God for others. It's my belief how we treat people is an indication of our connection to God. And when you and I take the courageous step and look outside of our window and see other people as our neighbors, I believe we can begin to shine for God, as the Bible says, and really make a difference in our lifetime that lasts beyond our lifetime. It will go into eternity. So today I want to preach a message entitled Big Heart. I want to talk about the big heart of God. I want to talk about how it connects to you and I and God's timing and what's happening in our lives right now and how there's a bigger picture at work here. And I want to speak to you today and encourage your faith. So if you don't know Jesus, receive Jesus today. He's a bad man, majama. You got to receive Jesus. And if you have received Jesus, keep on moving forward in your faith. I believe God is with you. So Father, I thank you today for this great worship experience. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here. I thank you that your kingdom come and your will be done. I thank you, Lord, that we are safe in this room. And as we leave, I pray that this week, I pray, God, that myself and everyone in here and online would lay down any resistance. Right now, we would set aside any distraction. We would receive freely from you today. Our hearts are yours. We give you you, or we give you us, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Big heart. Everyone say big heart. I believe everything about God is big. And in these verses, in this chapter I'm reading, if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow me on the screen. If you want, you can flip over your worship guide and take notes. 2 Peter chapter 3. The whole chapter is the Apostle Peter writing to this church about the coming of Jesus, about Jesus coming back for his people. This is a core doctrine we believe from Scripture. And I want to unpackage that, but I also want to talk about not only God's heart, but God's view. I want you to see this today in verse 8. And I think this will all speak to us no matter where we're at. In verse 8, he says, "But you must not forget this one thing." This is a secret, I believe, into the timetable of God. He says, "Dear friends," notice, "a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed." But notice, I love this last line. "But wants everyone to repent." Repent just means I'm going this direction. I stop, I repent, I turn around, and I go this direction. And I'm walking with God. Notice the big heart of God. Now, to me, it doesn't matter where you're at in the journey of your faith. If you've prayed at least one prayer in your lifetime or thousands of prayers in your lifetime, chances are you and I have faced the tenuous moment and feeling and thoughts and emotions of, God, why haven't you answered my prayer yet? Has anyone been there before? Anyone honest people in here? Not too many. God will get you on the way home. And frustrated with maybe, God, why aren't you answering my prayer right now? Like 30 seconds ago. And God, I prayed, and why aren't you moving? A lot of people can get frustrated in this idea of waiting and God, you know, moving. And sometimes God moves quick and sometimes he doesn't. I don't understand it. But notice in that tenuous place, this verse in verse 8, because for us to understand, I believe, the big heart of God, it's important that we understand the big view of God. How does God see the world? How does he see the church? How does he see you and me? What lens is he looking through? Well, notice again, this verse says, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. That's verse 8. So this connects to two things. First off, God has always been, so he's bigger than time. Secondly, God lives outside of time. And think about this. If you've had any loved one or friend pass away and they're in heaven, no matter how long of a time it is before you pass away, if Jesus doesn't come back, so let's say it's 100 years or 70 years and they've been up in heaven, when you get there, it's not going to be to them like they've been there 70 years without you. It's going to be like, they just got there, and then you're going to show up and you're going to be there forever because God is awesome. He's infinite. He's outside of time. We're in time. He's outside of time. So it's beyond us. No human can figure this out, but it's real. When you think about this verse in the context of this chapter, the view of God connects to us in two ways. First, the ubiquitous view of Jesus over the church is that Jesus is coming back for his people. In other words, Jesus is coming to rescue you and me, and he is taking us home to be with him in heaven. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to go to heaven. This is awesome. And he's coming back for his people. And this is, no strange thing. It's a doctrine that Jesus talked about, that he was coming back for his people. And the early church and on have talked about and preached about the coming of the Lord. Now, our temptation, if you've been around church or you haven't, it doesn't matter. But our temptation is to hear stuff like that and say, that's rhetoric. That's a wise tale. I don't believe that. And besides that, my grandma told me that, and he hasn't come back yet. So really, I don't believe this. This is not true. But notice in verse 8, the secret of God's timetable. While you and I could possibly think that God's not, you know, coming back and this is not real, Peter, the apostle Peter, wrote this letter to the church over 2,000 years ago, or right at 2,000 years ago. We believe that Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead at 2,000 years ago. But notice, Peter wrote this letter encouraging the people not to be, you know, weary, but he's coming back. And while you and I would think, man, this is long and he's not coming back, to God, it's been 2 days since Peter wrote this. Some of you know about the book of Revelation. A lot of Hollywood movies depict the apocalypse and the end of time and the end of the world. That's coming. And I'm not trying to scare you, but it is coming. The Bible talks about that. But John was on the island of Patmos and he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and to God. That's only been 2 days since he visited John and spoke to him the book of Revelation. So in other words, Jesus is not bound by our time. Let us not grow weary in our hope. The Apostle Paul calls this the blessed hope. Don't grow weary that Jesus is coming back. And don't cast it off as just, oh, I don't believe that. I heard that before. No, it's real. And in the timing of God, it's only been 2 days. And God is right on time. He's setting up things to come back for you and for me. And to take us to be with him. I remember I was a kid, they used to teach us all the time. And I remember, man, they would freak us out. They would scare the bejesus out of us. They would talk about, you know, Jesus comes back. If you don't go, you're going to live in the woods and eat berries. You're going to run from the enemy. And then I'd be at football practice and my parents would be late. I'd be the last kid. The coaches left. Everyone left. I'd be in the parking lot under a parking lot light. Oh, Jesus, did you come back? I don't want to live in the woods on berries. And I'd be praying, oh, Lord, I repent. I want to go to heaven. And then finally my parents would show up. I was traumatized as a child. Thinking I was going to live in the woods and eat berries all my life. And it's easy to cast that stuff off, but I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, folks. Live for Jesus today. Live right for God today. The Bible says, obviously, God's not a thief, but the Bible says that he will come like a thief in the night. In other words, he will come and surprise the world. He's coming. And so it's our job to live for him every day. That's ubiquitous. That's the big view of the of God's time, that 1,000 years is like a day. It's only been 2 days. Don't cast it off. He's coming back. Now for us more personally, on a personal level, the idea of God and his time, the secret of his time, that a day is like 1,000 years, is you and I have to know that God is coming through for our life. That God, his timing is not our timing. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, PD, I don't got 1,000 years to get a man. I need Jesus to hurry up right now. I got a time right now. My clock's ticking. And I understand that. You can look to your right or your left and find someone maybe who's available. Maybe God will provide right now for you. I said that at 9:30. I saw a guy in the back. He was excited. He's ready to get somebody. But I know I'm speaking truth to you right now. Some of you are texting someone right now. Well, the preacher's talking about that. Listen to me. In the reality of relationship, finance, maybe healing, answered prayers, 1,000 years is like a day. Well, you know, I mean, come on, PD. I'm not going to live 1,000 years. I need God to move now. But in reality, God is moving in a way that maybe is slow to us, but it's right on time with him. For example, notice the tension of timing. We think right now. God thinks long term. We think most of the time with like one thing. God, give me this job. Give me this job. Give me this job. God, give me a man. God, give me a man. God, give me a girl. Give me a girl. God, you know, this and that. We're thinking about one thing. God thinks about everything. We think about what we know, but God knows everything. We think our way. God thinks his way. We think the picture we have in our brain, but God thinks about the picture he has for our lives. You can see the tension. Notice one is it's right now. It's one thing. It's what we know. It's our way. It's our picture. And then we have God, and he thinks long term. He thinks about everything. He knows everything. He thinks his way. He thinks the big picture. And I want to encourage you today that some of us in this room and online, maybe you've prayed for things and it didn't happen. Maybe you prayed that your marriage wouldn't end, and it did. Maybe you prayed for someone, and they passed away. That happened to me and my family, and they're in heaven. Maybe others of you are praying for your healing, and you're still in pain right now. Maybe some of you are struggling financially, and you're hoping for a better job, and it hasn't come. Maybe some of you have prayed and it seemingly didn't happen. I want to speak to you real quick that I don't understand everything, but I've gone through that myself. And I know this, that God is a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a right on time God. And he will cause all things to work together for the good. And he will heal our heartache in our time of pain. Others of us in this room, maybe all of us and online, maybe you're praying about something right now. What are you praying about? What's on your mind? What's in your heart? What's beating in you? What are you feeling? What are you reaching for? What are you asking God to help you with? I just want you to know that God's time, just like his big view, is like 2 days since he was here on the earth. And God's big view for you and me, he may not come when we want him, but I want to encourage you, he will be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And that God knows where you're at. He knows where I'm at. And he will answer our prayers just at the right time. When you and I've found this out about God. I'm thinking about my thing. I'm thinking about one thing. I'm enamored with one thought. And God's thinking about five other things. And so, for example, some of us are thinking, man, I want to get married. I want to get married. And someone said, I'm married. And anyway, and so someone's saying, I want to get married. I want to get married. And so somebody wants to make it happen. I remember one time someone said, I'm going to get married on this date, and I'm going to make it happen. And so they made it happen. They found someone. They made it happen. They whatever. And they got married on the day they wanted to, and they made it happen. I hope it's worked out. And so you can think about, I want to get married. I want to get married. I want to get married. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to find this girl. I'm going to find this man. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get married. And you're thinking about one thing, and God's thinking about a healthy relationship. God's thinking about emotional stability. God's thinking about financial stability. God's thinking about a healthy family. Not a perfect one, but a healthy family. God's thinking about a good dad or a good mom partnering with you. And you're thinking about, just, I got to get married, I got to get married. And God's thinking about, just hold on, man. Let me set you up so that when you get married, you ain't marrying crazy. You're marrying good. And so, or about a job. I got to get a job. I want this level of income. I got to get this job. This is my, okay. And I understand it, but God's like, he's not just thinking about your pay grade. He's thinking about your lifestyle, your peace, and your health. He's thinking about your future. He's thinking about your purpose, your destiny. He's thinking about his calling on your life. You're thinking about job, 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 money, money, money. He's thinking about, wait a minute, I got five other things happening for you. Just let me do it in my time so that when I answer your prayer, it's not just about the one thing you're fixated on. I'm connecting the dots on multiple things, causing all things to be good. Not perfect, but good. Come on, give him praise. I believe in that Jesus for you and for me. Timing. Timing. And so notice that you and I, in this secret of verse 8, I'm just picking two verses out of the whole chapter, but in verse 8, notice we have a secret into God's time. His big view is that it's only 2 days since he talked to Peter and John and others about coming back to the earth, and he's coming back. Don't cast that off of, I don't believe that. No, no, no. 2 days. God's on time. And then on a personal level, please today, I know you and I do this. I'm thinking right now, my thing, what I know, my way, my picture, how I imagine it. That's what I want. And God's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Man, I'm thinking long term. I'm thinking about everything. I know everything. It's my way. It's the big picture. And that's a tenuous battle. And I want to encourage you today, man, to lay it down. I know that's a big statement and maybe an ambiguous one, but man, please lay it down and just let God's time have its way for you. And let God show you his big view. Because when you see God's big view and we begin to embrace it, then we can understand God's big heart. Everything about God is big. So notice in verse 9, I want to read this again to you. Notice this verse. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. Notice with the big heart of Jesus, notice this for us. That God, I know we have ideas and maybe religious teachings about God being slow. He's not slow. The Bible says he's not slow. He's right on time. And he's not being slow. What's the Bible say here in this version? He says he's being patient. Patient for what? That you and me would find Jesus as Savior, and that Jesus would save as many people as possible. He's being patient. In other words, I put this in my notes. His delay is for the deliverance of many. His patience is for his presence to touch the masses. That's why for you and me in this series, Outside My Window, we're not just seeing a God just how he can bless me. And that's a challenge for us. All of us have that tendency. When we look outside our window, our perspective changes. And what happens here in this verse is that God is patient. He's not slow, folks. He's patient to come back for his church because he wants as many people as possible to be saved. It doesn't mean everyone will be saved, but he wants as many people to be saved. And really, he's being patient so you and I can get right. Aren't you glad God's patient? Yes. Come on, be honest. Because if he wasn't patient with me, I'd have been killed a long time ago. Just zap, you're gone. The Bible says he's slow to angry. Aren't you glad, or to anger, aren't you glad that God had a big heart for me and you? Because if you don't know, he does. And he wants us to have that same big heart for other people. Notice, again, I know I'm being repetitive, but I want to drive this into our heart and spirit that God is not slow. He's being patient and he's moving to reach others. Please do not be desensitized or to cast this off as rhetoric. Or I don't believe that. Come on, don't do that. Man, receive the blessed hope. He's coming back. The Apostle Paul said he will come at the trump of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And the blinking of an eye, we will rise up with him. And when we see him, we shall be like him. And we shall forever be with the Lord. I don't know about that. I don't believe that. Well, I do. I live my life like any day, any moment, he could come. And I'm going to be ready to go up and see him. Say, I don't believe in that. I'm a scientist or I'm an intellectual. I love your mind. I love the intellectual. I love science. But God's word proves science. And there's a part of God that's above our intellect. I choose to believe like a child with a childlike heart. The word of God, he's coming back for his people. If he could come through a virgin and walk this earth and turn everything upside down, he can come back from heaven and take me home and take you home too. Live for God today. Today. But this also connects to you and I, just like the first part. The ubiquitous thought of God for the world, for the church, is that he's being patient, not slow. He's being patient so that as many people as possible can turn around and be saved. For you and I personally, he's not being slow. He's being patient. He's coming through with his promise. He's answering your prayers. I prayed about that 20 years ago. I'm telling you, the first time we pray, folks, God is moving on our behalf. Again, we're in time. We're in hours, days, minutes. And so we get frustrated. God, why don't you? No, I'm telling you, he's moving on your behalf right now. He's orchestrating beyond what you see. And it's important that you and I resist being offended at God, at church, at people. We have to let that go and not be offended. We have to let go of being short-sighted. We have to resist being closed off because it's not going our way. We have to resist giving up because we didn't get something we wanted. Like, for example, I mean this. If God doesn't answer another prayer, I'm still serving Jesus. Because he's done so much for me, I can't turn back. I challenge everyone in this room and online, do not base your walk of faith on a miracle. For example, if you don't give me a miracle, I quit. What are you talking about? He gave you a miracle. Have you studied the odds of you even being born? Shoot, you praise God every day. He has given you a miracle. But if we base our faith, if you don't do this miracle, I'm going to quit church. No. I serve God not based on a miracle. I serve God based on who he is. I challenge all of us. Now, I reach for a miracle, but my faith is in the bedrock of God's character, not just something he can give me. Thank you for two yeses. I encourage you today to let go of disappointment running your faith, or I would even say ruining your faith. To make you not believe. You see, what if every blessing God gives you and I is not just for us, but it's also for other people? What if God wants you and I to be an open door, meaning that God can bring answered prayers into our life, but we just don't hoard it. We're an open door. We let other people be blessed because he's blessed us. What if you and I would understand that our purpose is not just to get blessings, but it's to be a blessing? You see, a lot of us have this temptation. We do this with our lives. God, just come through. All we're doing, it's like our one thing, or maybe more, is like, we just like, God, come through. You got to answer my prayer. Come on, God, you got to do it. I got to have a wife. I got to have a husband. I got to have kids. I got to have money. I got to have my dream come to pass. Come on, God, do it right now. And all we're seeing is this. But if we would zoom out, and just take a moment and take a break and realize that it's not just about me. And then when I zoom out and I see his view to the best of my ability to understand his big heart, then I understand God put that coworker I don't like in my life so that I can shine for Jesus to them. God put my in-laws in my life. Look at me right now. Don't look. Just look at me. He put my in-laws in my life to squeeze Jesus out of me. He put people in my life that I don't like, that I do like, that love me, that hate me, that despise me, that minimize me because gender, because ethnicity, because economic status, because status on the job. God put people in my life for me to not be mean to them, but to shine to them that Jesus is the way. Silent night, holy. It's challenging, isn't it? When I'm doing this, all I can think about is me, 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 me. And I do it. I'm not being mean to you today. I'm just saying this is our temptation. Just, Lord, do it. Come on. Come through. Come through. Come through. Come through. You got to do it, Lord, for me. And God's saying, man, I got you. I know what you're asking before you ask. I know the hairs on your head for me a little bit less than you. I know. Just zoom out. God's just asking us to zoom out, folks. Zoom out. And understand this is why we can't afford to be offended, be short-sighted, to be closed off because something didn't go our way, get mad because we didn't get what we wanted, or let disappointment. We can't afford that. Notice the big heart of God. He wants everyone to repent. That's why, you know, when in the Christian world, if I can say that term, there's like conferences and debates about church size. Like, what's the right size? And some of you maybe are watching or in here, this is too big, this is too small. To me, all those debates are asinine. Because what's the heart of God? He wants everyone to repent. Every church, I think, should be growing. Every church needs to be big. How big, PD? It needs to be as big as it needs to be till everyone receives Jesus. That's how big it needs to be. We don't. So I would ask you, and I know, and I'm not trying to be offensive. I know we have preferences. I know we have backgrounds. I know we have this and ideas, and I understand it. Please, I respect where you come from, whether it's church background or no background. I get it. But let me ask you something. Aren't you glad that God's big heart was shined or showed, rather, excuse me, to us? Why would I ever cut that off to someone else? I'm asking you at City Church to lay down your preference. This is too big, this is too small, whatever it is, lay it down. And say, God, I lay down my preference for your presence. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of the big heart of God because the big heart of God saved my soul. I lay down what I think. I lay down my opinion. I lay down my argument because your heart said in this verse and in others, he wants everyone to repent. That's why one of our core values is growth. Tagline, we count people because people count. Aren't you glad God counted you? So I want to encourage all of you. Right now in America, the average church-going person out of that whole group of people that go to church, only 2% of them invite anyone to church. I encourage you, I implore you here in closing, man, bring people to church. We're not going to scare them, I promise. We're going to love them. Bring them to church. In fact, in December, we're going to do at the movies. We're going to have popcorn, Coke, Pepsi, Sprite, Skittles, Snickers, candy, coffee, donuts. We're going to sugar you up. And we're going to have movies every week for 3 weekends. You're watching movie clips tied in with the gospel. And this is a great time. Last year, we saw over 120 people receive Jesus during at the movies. Come on, give it up for Jesus on that. I don't know about this. Someone came last year and said, I didn't know it was movie day. It is. All month long, shame on you. Bring your friends, bring your mama, bring your daddy. People are going to come to God from watching a movie and drinking a Coke. The heart of God, the big heart of God, is he knows me. He knows everyone in the world. He knows our name. He knows our desires. He knows our heart. He knows our prayer requests. He knows everything about us. He made us. And he knows our prayer requests too, along with everyone else's prayer requests. And so you and I can't afford to live life like this. God, do it, do it, do it, do it. Come on, God, do it my way. Do it now. Come on, God, just do it, do it. And when he wants us to say, I got you, man. Just let my timing have its course. Take a step back and look at the big heart of God. That God's not being slow. God's being patient for us in this room and online. He's patiently coming through for us. I know I'm hitting a nerve right now. I want to encourage you, man, lay down anger. Lay it down. So I've been praying for my husband, I pray for my wife. I know, lay it down. Man, I want to give up on God. He didn't answer any of my prayers. Come on, man, lay it down. Don't quit because you're not getting it when you want. Come on, yield it to God and let God have your heart and say, God, I love you. Man, I'll keep on praising and praying whether I got to wait my lifetime just to be with you. It's worth it. I want to give you a story to illustrate the heart of God. True story. My mom and dad were invited to preach in San Antonio, Texas. Our media pastor texted me after the service. She looked it up. It was over 16 hours one way. They were excited about the opportunity, and a church invited them, and they had a tent. It's kind of an old-fashioned idea of having a tent and having church in a tent. And my dad was ready to go, and they pull up. Nothing wrong with big or small crowds, but I want to give context to this. They pull up. They go in, 25 people are there. It's heavy, it's hard. My dad said he was a little bit bummed about it, but he got up and he preached like it was thousands, preached his heart. I've seen my dad do that personally so many times. He said there was a man sitting by his wife in the audience, and he was a stone. He was cold, just face angry, just looked dead. And after my dad preached the best he could, his wife came up and she received prayer, and the Holy Spirit touched her body, and she was just praising God for the touch of the Lord on her physical body. And her husband saw that, and he was softened. And he told my dad that he had received Jesus years ago, but his heart was hard. He was far away. He was mad. He was all these things. And within the next few moments, my dad just took time with him and led this man, whose name was Larry, led him to Jesus right there at the altar. He came back to God. His countenance changed. He was smiling. After the service, he was hugging my dad. He was taking selfies. What saved, you know, all this stuff. He was totally happy. His wife was crying. She was going nuts. He goes home and he calls the kids over. And the next day they have a family gathering. They're having a cookout. He tells all of his kids and their spouses and their grandkids. He says, man, I got saved. Jesus is my Lord. And he was testifying to all of them about Jesus. And they all celebrated and they all were taking it in, because we know that because his wife told us the story later. They had a big family party, just hanging out. Man, I got saved. That night they go to bed and Larry dies. He goes to heaven. His wife calls my dad and begins to unfold the story of Larry. You see, years prior to that event of my dad driving 16 hours with my mom one way, talking about the big heart of God, Larry and his brothers and his dad were at a bar years prior, getting drunk, got into a big fight in the bar. The dad got mad and left early and walked home. Larry kept on drinking. He got in his car and started driving home. Because he was intoxicated, he swerved off the road, hit his father, and killed him instantly. For the rest of those years of his life, he let go of his health. He drank almost every day. He wanted to die. His wife said he barely raised his family. He was totally shut down. And what's amazing about the intentionality of God is not that Larry passed away. The intentionality of God is that the big heart of God knew Larry before he was ever in the earth, and knew him that night when he killed his father on accident. And knew him every day of his anger and his drinking and his bitterness and his rage and wanting to die. And sent my parents 16 hours one way to go into a tent with 25 people. And my dad gave everything he had for 25 people, because really it wasn't 25, it was one. And when Larry passed away, he went to heaven to be with Jesus. And his wife told my father that when she was in the hospital, the nurses couldn't understand it, because she was in shock, of course, and processing it. But then she said something came over her, and she began to say over and over again out loud, he made it, he made it, he made it, he made it, he made it. And I love the fact of Jesus today, that some of you in this room and online, you're like Larry. Man, you're here because someone invited you. You're here for whatever reason. And man, you are far from God. And you feel like you want to die. And you feel overwhelmed by life. And you feel like life has passed you by. And you're angry at yourself. And you're angry at others. And I'm here to tell you, just like my parents drove 16 hours one way by the Holy Spirit to reach Larry, God is reaching for you right now. He loves you online. He loves you. He's with you. He knows your name. He knows your mistakes. And he's not embarrassed. He's reaching for you to receive him. And I'm here to tell you today, for all of us, whether you're a Larry or not, God knows your address. He knows your house. He knows your family name. He knows your family tree. He hears every prayer you pray. He knows exactly what he's doing, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. I'm here to tell you, God is moving on your family. God knows you. His heart is big enough to save your soul and to save your child and to save that son and to save that daughter and to save that grandson. He's big enough to save your auntie and to save your crazy uncle. He's big enough to walk down into the ghetto and pull you out. He's big enough to walk into the gated neighborhood, walk into a mansion and announce, I am the Savior. He's big enough to walk to the racist. He's big enough to go to the poor. He's big enough to go to the addict. He's big enough to go to the athlete. He's big enough to go to Hollywood and save Kanye. He's big enough to do anything because his heart is so big. Come on, give this big God a big praise because he has a big heart. Woo! Come on, he deserves the praise. He deserves the praise. He's coming to your house and he never discriminates. Please stand to your feet. If you're an addict today, he loves you. He loves you. If you did wrong at 2 o'clock this morning, he loves you. He's reaching for you. And that story reveals the big heart of God. Now, one day when my dad gets to heaven, Larry will be there. I don't know what he'll say. I don't want to guesstimate from the scripture, but I could, if I was him, I'd say, thank you for driving 16 hours. Thank you for preaching your heart out to 25 people, because it wasn't about 25 people. God sent you over 16 hours one way for one person, because Jesus said he will leave the 99 and get the one. And you and you and you are the one. And he's coming to you today. Please bow your head to heaven. Please don't quit God because he hasn't answered your prayers. Please don't give up because you don't understand it. Serve God. He's coming back. Give him your heart. He's here. In this room and online, you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my lifetime. I've never received him in my life. And or you would say, I'm like Larry. I've received him one time, but right now in this moment, I'm far from God. And I need Jesus in my life. If that's you in this moment, in this room and online, as heads are bowed, hearts are bowed right now, if that's you in one of those two spots, raise your hand and say, I want saved today. God bless you. 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 So good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. People coming to Jesus all over the room. God bless you. I see it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Others would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I feel angry. I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated that I'm praying and I don't feel like God's moving. And I need this today. I just want to be patient. I just want to stay focused on God. I don't want to quit. I want to give him my best. Even when I don't understand. And you want God to help you today. If that's you right now in this moment, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you all over this room. Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you so much. Good. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours. I run to you. I give you everything. I'm yours. I turn from wrong. I do what's right. I choose you. Holy Spirit, fill my life and use me for the glory of God. I lay down my offense. I lay down frustration. I choose to trust. Your timing is perfect. I'm yours, no matter what, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a great hand up of praise. I feel him in this room. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the prayer team to join me here in the front. And as they're coming down, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a few moments, just 3 or 4 minutes. Just stay locked in for 3 or 4 minutes, please. The band will come out and sing this great worship song. Worship with them. You can take communion. It's along the sidewalls in the back. Do it on your own. You can sit in your seat and worship God. Do whatever you feel. If you receive Jesus today, we want to encourage you to come down and just let us help you move forward. No strings attached. If you have a prayer request about anything, please come down and receive prayer. I believe God does great things when we pray together. But whatever you do, just lock in and let the Lord's big heart touch you and move forward one step at a time. So may the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he be good to you. And may the Lord give you peace. And for this message, may God's big heart be our big heart too, in Jesus' name.